future is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. Well, scratch that. Today, we have a slightly different episode. We have an exclusive interview that I conducted with Rong Chen, founder of Elastos. For those who don't know, Elastos is building Web 3.0. So let's jump into the interview. So I'm here with Rong Chen, co-founder of Elastos. Rong, how's it going? It's great to see you again.
Nice to see you. It's been great. The project's coming along.
Oh, perfect. Well, listen, tell us more a little bit about Elastos itself, and then we'll jump into the new updates that have been going on, because I know you guys have been super busy.
Yeah, we are. Actually, we just recently released our year-end report, the half-year financial auditing. And as of today, this noon, we updated the new website, elastos.org, and also the Teams page.
That's what we like to hear. So what's been new for the Elastos team? Because I know you guys have been super busy.
Yeah, because we are actually looking forward to going on the next phase of the project. We expect to, in April, before the end of April, right? A bit more than a month. We are going to release the new internet, new autonomous running, decentralized web. Very, very rough. Very, you know, it's not something as smooth as the www, right? Because if you think of the early 90s, or actually the WWW web just celebrated its 30th anniversary.
Wow.
30 years ago, Tim Berners-Lee invented the WWW web. And so this April, we are excited to say that we're going to have the next incarnation of the web. We call it Smart Web.
And why is that so important, Rong, for that to develop and grow?
Actually, if you look at the web is really, really, you know, has helped a lot, right? Made all the virtual economies available. For example, Google, Amazon, and Facebook, and etc. But then there's also drawbacks for the web. For example, WWW web is decentralized because no government, no company should control the web.
Yeah.
Yet, the web has no IDs, so then a lot of people fake other people's IDs and launch DDoS attacks and steal other people's information, you know, pretend to be someone else, right? And if millions of them pretend to be someone else, so they launch attacks and to steal other people's data. Then if you see the trend for WWW, because of the viruses, the fake identities, yeah, all the criminal behaviors going on. So the consumers are so confused now. So they have to resort to Google.com for IDs, Apple, right? Alibaba, Tencent. Because basically they're seeking Big Brothers for support, for protection. Can we go back to this decentralized world, yet it's secure? And people can build trust each other, right? They can do business with each other. So that's why this is really, really important.
We've seen massive applications on the internet so far. As you mentioned, Google, Facebook, Tencent, and everything they've been doing in China. What do you foresee coming in the next 10 years?
Well, even though people think, you know, those big brothers, right? They're invincible, right? There's a superpower. But on the other hand, if from a computer science point of view, if you see the last web, URL point to a web page. What's in circulation on social networks? Photos, websites, texts.
Yeah.
They're all data, yeah, right? But then if you see the trend where we're going, Google has this instant app, or Tencent has something called mini app. Basically, they have this mini app built in inside WeChat. They have macro websites built inside the WeChat app. So in a way, WeChat is a new web, you know, running mini programs and macro websites. But then it's controlled by one company, right? It's not shared among the people of the consumer of the world. But then on the other hand, So that's why I name it Smart Web, Elasto Smart Web. Smart Web meaning the web that runs apps versus the web that shares data.
Right.
So then why it's that important to have apps shared, right? So when you share apps, first problem you run into is viruses. Of course, the app has to run. If the apps cannot be quarantined, it's going to pass viruses, right? So that's why, that's technically we have to work on the antivirus virtual machine. It's been going on for 20 years working on this issue. But secondly, why it's important business-wise. Let's say we have a virtual economy. You give me a token, I trade me for goods.
Yeah.
That's called economy. If you give me one token swap for another,
yeah,
it's not economy. It's like a euro for US dollars. The reason why you want to swap euros for US dollars, actually, you want to buy something from that market.
Yeah, of course.
It's not just for games, right? For fun. No one trading tokens, currency for fun. But then for the crypto world, basically trading tokens for for whatever, right? They call it economy. I don't believe so. They call it share value. I don't believe so. Sharing value only economy is a token for goods. And when you have so-called a value a swap, right? It's a tangible, non-tangible. If it's tangible, you buy a phone, you buy a TV. And those tangible assets, they are scarce. If you buy a phone, there's one less phone on the market. But if I buy an ebook, what if you make a piracy copy of it?
Okay.
Right? If you make a piracy copy of the book doesn't worth anything. I'm not going to waste my token on your book or on your video, right?
Right.
So then anti-piracy actually is the base for smart economy. And how do you do antivirus, anti-piracy? Let's say, when you share value among the internet, on the internet, you literally have to share code. Because if you share data, the data is interpreted by some program. Who is controlling that interpreter program, right? You cannot trust the interpreter. You cannot trust the media player by and large. You know, actually the media, and people, when people see piracy, who is the biggest, right, culprit for piracy? It's the software, it's the application.
It's the software that creates the ability for you
because
to
if the,
do the piracy.
The media player, but you know, in general purpose media player, right? If you have a doc opened up by, I wouldn't say Word because that affiliated with associated with a company. But if you have some artwork, right, and then open up by some, you know, editing software.
Of course.
And could the editing software send it somewhere?
Ah.
When I play your music, can it send it somewhere, right? Make an illegal copy of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, I'm not claiming, right? Those big corporations, they have some ethical standards, but then so many apps out there, a lot of free apps especially, why they are free? They have to make a living. It's just by stealing your data for a living. That's what it is.
I think it's a really good point, Ron, but it's really interesting to see where people are now. Do you think people are looking for the next level, the next stage? Because a lot of people are very aware, due to Cambridge Analytica, that Facebook takes their data and sells it. Do you think a lot of people are like that passionate about it? Or do you think they just don't know?
They just don't know.
Just don't know.
As I said, you know, when I say, how many people in this conference talking about smart economy, right?
Everyone.
But then if you talk about smart economy, you have to talk about trade. If you talk about trade, you have to use token to swap for goods,
yeah,
right? Which is really, really natural. But then when you talk about swapping non-tangible goods, and how do you solve the piracy problem? If you don't solve the piracy problem, you don't have an economy, you don't have a trade. So basically, when you talk about sharing a non-tangible tangible goods, then the reason why you have to share code is because you cannot trust any other software from stealing from you, right? But then if, and also when you send, if I send you a mini program from through social networks, when you receive it, it's a customized code. So when you execute the code, you have to launch the virtual machine.
Yeah.
When you launch the virtual machine, that's the single point of entry.
Yeah.
And that, because that virtual machine is open sourced from us, right? And everyone scrutinizes the code. And also when the executable running inside, the virtual machine will check against the blockchain. Do you still own? You have the right to play it. If you don't have the right to play it, then, right, you're not going to play it. So that's why when you share value, you share code. When you share code, you need a virtual machine OS.
Yeah.
And if you're not talking about virtual machine OS, and it's not going to handle it. But then you see projects saying, oh, why don't we do WebAssembly, right? Why don't we do, when you do Java, Java has two flaws. One is Java has a JNI. When it's running the native code, the games, the multimedia codecs, it gives you a backdoor as open as, you know, the truck can drive through. Because basically everyone, every developer is able to use the backdoor called a JNI, Java native call, open to everyone. If the backdoor is open to everyone, you might as well don't need a backdoor. You just
go through.
Yeah, then. Basically, you go down to Linux and launch DDoS attacks and steal other people's data as before.
What do you see kind of the drawbacks of WebAssembly?
Because WebAssembly basically saying, okay, we do inside a browser have another built-in virtual machine, so to speak. The thing is, if you steal other people's data, if, you know, application, as I said, application is really, really nasty right now. Literally, all application has the potential to steal. You know, who are going to trust? Because they can freely access the internet and send your data anywhere they want. The operating system doesn't care, right? If you, if the application open up a port, send it to, you know, wherever your website is.
Right.
And who is to say no? No one. The application just basically gave me a green light wherever you want to go, right? So for WebAssembly, is that the same thing? Anything within WebAssembly, if I access a internet portal, do you let me?
Oh.
So basically, saying WebAssembly, that's a joke.
But it's so popular. Why do you think that is?
Because they don't know better.
Do you think it's just a level of people just don't understand?
Correct. Basically, the rule number one is no applications, no services, no IoT devices should access the internet at all. That's the principle.
Wow.
That's the guideline, right? If you let... I mean, application being the interaction between the consumer and the machine, right? That's called an app. And services running in the background of a computer, right? Like a search, like, you know, database, and there are some background services, right? And the IoT devices being peripherals of a computer. If you let them to go on to the broad internet, right? They can, let's say you got surveillance cameras in your home, you got smart speakers in your home.
What, if
you
let them... fridge.
Whatever, right? If they have the liberty to send anything anywhere, and then even the light bulbs, so you turn it on and going through the, your router, right? And send your... If there's a light bulb, how do you know there's no built-in microphone in there? How do you know there's no built-in cameras in there, right? There's no way, because there are some genuine brands of light bulbs, which is legit. But then what if... some people make a counterfeit. The counterfeit could be look more real than the real one. It's not that hard.
And you can't authenticate that as well.
No. That's why if you let people to go on, if you let the sensors or services or apps go on the internet, there's no way you can guarantee the security of the like autonomous driving, enterprise IoT. There's no guarantee whatsoever, right? So then, when I say no apps or services or IoT devices should access the internet, that's called communication. It's orthogonal to communication. Let's see, you know, this Alan Turing, great British guy, right? And when he invented the Turing machine, and people are saying everything, all the computations are equivalent to Turing machine computation model. I bet, let's make a wild bet, there was no network when Turing was alive. So that means, basically given this very, very not a scientific proof, right? just saying computation, if computation is equivalent to Turing machine, and Turing, when he was alive, there's no network, can we say computation has nothing to do with communication? And but currently, if you look at all the computations of today, they all directly access communication. That's one of the biggest mistakes the internet, because it was too early, invented.
That's crazy. So how can people find out more information about Elastos? Where can they go?
They don't have to. They just have to pay more attention to the progress of computer science. This principle, right, was... there are several things applied. One is, this is called metadata-driven remoting. It's called reflection-based programming. Was in the late 80s, when I learned the term from some French guys. And in New Orleans, Wupsla Conference, second Wupsla Conference in New Orleans, 1989. Some French guys sitting on the podium saying, you know, you Americans don't know how to program. I was shocked in New Orleans, right? Who do you think the audience are? The Americans believe. Yeah, the Americans believe they invented the operating systems. They invented almost all programming languages. And some French jerks are just saying, you guys don't know how to program, right? So I said, why? You know, I was in the audience, and why? I'm saying, because you know, you guys don't know what's reflection. You don't know what's reflection-based programming. Then I went back to library and look up the books. That's 1989, okay? That's how long ago. Wow. And then in 99, year 99, right? 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Then Microsoft designed .NET. Why do you think Microsoft designed .NET, right? The other operating system called XP, Windows 2000, Windows 95, right? So those operating systems are device OS. Device OS meaning they care of only this machine. They don't care about anything you go beyond this machine. I don't care.
Right.
So they don't protect you from the network attacks. They protect the local security leaks of the machine, right?
Right, so anything else coming into that machine?
I don't care, right? Because, but then as the internet getting more popular, and of course, if you don't keep, when you design operating system, if you don't keep the network in mind, then you never get security safety guarantees, right?
That's almost scary to think wrong.
But let's see, why Microsoft call it
.NET? And you were part of Microsoft. You were part of the team.
I was part of that team. So why we want to design a network OS called .NET? Are we out of our mind? Of course, the project was not very successful, given the Windows Vista. It was a failure, right? But on the other hand, the principle, we keep on reminding ourselves, when we design this network OS, we should not let any applications from sending network packets. So then we're much safer. That was the principle 20 years ago, not today. This is a pathetic world.
Wow. Wow. So where do we go from here?
Another thing.
It must be something optimistic, Ron.
Another thing is, if you look at DOS, right? 30 years ago, when we have a DOS, when we have a single machine, we don't have a network. Then you buy software. You go out, buy a WordPerfect. And you install on your PC.
Yeah.
And whether the next WordPerfect went under, if you still own the software, you could still run it. Right? So no third party could shut it down.
Because you bought it.
You bought it.
And you installed it, and you know it's authentic.
Right. But if you look at today, it's web. You purchase the software. What if the company is one under, the website going with it, then your app doesn't run. You see the difference?
Yeah.
If we're saying dApps, what's a dApp? Dapp meaning no one can shut it down. If no one can shut it down, if I buy the software, I can run it forever, right? And but then if you buy a CryptoKitty, and what if the company going under, the website's website shuts down, right? Do you still have the kitty? You have, but can you still run it? You cannot. If you cannot run the kitty, am I going to buy from you?
No.
Forget it, right? So it means you lost your value. So that means the CryptoKitty is not a dApp. Can we have a CryptoKitty that runs with or without that website?
Yes.
That's the key, right? That's, again, going back to the computation shouldn't be affected by whether the website's there or not.
Rong, you've given us so much to think about today. I want to thank you for your time. And I'm going to link down all of the Elastos links, your Telegram and your website. Please, everyone, check it out. They've just launched their new website as well.
Yeah, I just think, I just hope those investors, right, saying, oh, I invest into this great crypto project. And think about those issues, really, really simple issues, like what's the economy, what's the trade?
Well, Rong, you know a lot about the issues because you've been part of the issues since the 1980s. Like, if there's anyone that understands this, it'll be you. And what your message is to check it out and do your own research?
Well, yeah, in a way, it is. So we basically were saying that everything has to go back to the drawing board, right? Because the internet, the Unix, right, was invented in the 70s. And both haven't changed much for the past 40-some years. And is that time?
So it's time for a change.
Is it time for a change? But a lot of people got 40 years, the young kids, they're born, right? Later than that. So they think through their life, things never changed. And now I think it's time.
It's time for a change. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, Rong. I appreciate it as always. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Let's keep rocking it.
Yeah, April.
If you want to see more of Rong Chen and myself, the interview was conducted in Hong Kong. You can go to our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto, to check out more. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention as always. If you haven't already, hit us up on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Join us on Telegram, SVK_crowd. And if you have any projects or you want to get in touch with SVK Crypto, feel free to email myself, CStory@SVKcrypto.com. That's a wrap. And I got to bounce.